Hello and welcome to the Devil's Trident podcast. I'm Simon, I'm here with Matt.
Oh, sorry, you just woke me up from my slumber. Hi, I'm here.
Oh, are you awake, James?
Yeah, I'm awake, I'm ready, let's do it, let's roll.
That makes one of us. Oh, sometimes we're just shit, aren't we? Just really bad. Is that 3-0 draws in a row after United have drawn 0-0 with Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park? And it was a bit of a different 0-0 to the Chelsea one. I know some people thought the Chelsea one was particularly drab and boring, but I don't think that was the case in that game. I think there was a lot to take from that. Not so much goals or even clear-cut chances as such, but it was still interesting in parts. Tonight was completely different, weren't it? It was a dour one, this one.
Yeah, I think you called this one a lacklustre performance and just a disjointed one as well. I don't think I've seen us play that bad in a while. I mean, we've played badly, but like nothing at all seemed to be working. And I was saying before that the only person on the pitch who really seemed like he, one, give a shit, and two, could actually play football was Luke Shaw and Dean Henderson, maybe. So what I want on it is 10 outfield Luke Shaws and Dean Henderson from now on, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that would have served as well, actually.
Yeah, it's a weird one, this, because...
Not really, by the way.
Well, no, but of course. But no, it's a weird one because... This season, we've seen United play really, really poor. And in the words of Mick McCarthy, I've seen us get dicked for six against Spurs. And there was much more to talk about in that game, clearly, because there was more goals. Mm-hmm. And United were lackluster in that game. But this one, like you said, with the Chelsea game, it maybe wasn't like a kind of a snore fest or whatever. It wasn't like just absolutely nothing happened of note. But the result from that, obviously, we took a point away from Stamford Bridge and it was like, okay, yeah, well, this is okay, but it's okay if you know you're going to beat Crystal Palace or you're confident that they're going to go and put a performance on and then we can really build on something with momentum. But there was one idiot on the podcast last week that was brave enough to predict the score for this one. Now, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, there's three idiots predicting the score, but...
True, but one idiot got it... Well, that didn't get the score right. But one idiot out of three predicted that we wouldn't win this game. And they, I won't name them, but it was me.
It was you.
It was me. No, and you pretty much tarred and feathered me and was, you know, showing me out the door. So, no.
It was
you know.
Your fault. I was expecting professional performance. Oh, I was. Straightforward, 2-0, job done. Get yourself back on coach. Off home.
Have your tea.
Go have your tea.
Get a bit.
Tea at 10:30, yeah.
Pasta, loads of pasta.
Yeah, no, it didn't materialise like that. I mean, towards the end, 80 minutes or so, when Dan James and McTominay came on, I still quite openly said, I still think we can win this. I mean, we won't deserve it as such, but I still think we can grab a goal. But I mean, up until that point and even beyond that point, we didn't create much. The first half was poor, but that was when the most chances occurred. I mean, our second half performances after a poor first half have generally been better, whether they've had a rollicking or they've regrouped or they've been told to do stuff differently in the second half, and it's worked for the majority of the season. But today it just didn't. We came out worse, if anything, after half time. Chances of note in the first half. I mean, we were giving them ball away for fun, really. So I think we were kind of gifting them chances in the first 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, and you know what? If this was any other team that was decent and can do something with the ball, then
if they didn't have Christian Benteke up front.
Yeah, if they didn't have Christian Benteke up front, then they might have been able to do something with that and beaten us quite comfortably. Because if that was if you played that against any of the top six, which we're far more safer. I get that, but if you're going to play against like the teams like Everton or West Ham, teams that can actually give you a good game, we'd have been absolutely done in today. We'd have been absolutely done because we were appallingly bad. Like I hate to see what our pass stats are going to be like, as in completed passes, because it's going to be shockingly bad.
I will find that over the course of the year.
That's going to be some tough reading. That I can't fathom why we can look so disjointed and we can play like this when we know that we can be amazing and we can play some really good counter attacking football, and like the Tricks and Flicks club is open for business. And why can we not just replicate it?
I can tell you.
On a consistent basis. I don't get why we can't do it. I
can't tell you why we can't replicate it on a consistent basis, but I can tell you 86% pass completion, which is probably lower than normal, although I don't particularly pay attention to those hardcore stats every game, but 506 completed out of 587. But there was a lot of sloppy ones in our own half. Harry Maguire was guilty of it. Eric Bailly then, a few minutes later, Bailly was stepping out with it. Bailly was trying to make something happen and stepping out of defence and stepping into midfield, and then just lost it, didn't he? And, Matic played a poor one. All of them put us in trouble, either on a counter-attack or just because they were pressing us a little bit and they ended up with chances from them. And, it took us 10 minutes to wake up, really. And I think we woke up for approximately 10 minutes, really. There was, from about 10 minutes onwards till maybe 20, 25 minutes in, we had a few chances. So we might as well dig into those, because that's pretty much all we've got.
So we're just going to knock out all the chances in the next 5 minutes and then just talk about something else for the rest of the podcast. Yeah.
We'll think of other stuff to cover. Don't worry.
You thought it was going to be the shortest episode ever.
I was going to say we'll fill your commute, but no one's commuting right now, really, are they? So we'll just give us another 10 minutes. We'll be right. What have we got? Nemanja Matic with a good strike. Rolling back the years, kind of, when he scored that cracker to win that little volley that he did 3 years ago. You're looking at me like you don't remember that, James.
I do remember it. I can't believe it.
Like 45 minutes ago.
No, that's just my face. No, yeah, it was an amazing goal, that one at Selhurst Park. And we were at Selhurst Park, but the one 2017, I think it was. Oh, 2018.
17-18.
Yeah. A fantastic strike. And I've often said, like, Matic maybe should take more risks when it comes to shooting, because he's got a hammer of a left foot and
you trust him more than Fred.
You would trust him more than Fred, yeah, of course. And the ball came to him. Fernandez, probably, it's one of these things because, like, they see each other day. These players see each other day in, day out in training, so maybe Fernandez spotted that, Matic is quite good at sort of shooting. I mean, it's just the way he laid it off to him was inviting him. Come on, have a go. It wasn't just like very deliberate. Yeah, laid it on a plate for him, and then Matic took the strike. It looked like it was going in the bottom corner, and then it takes a bit of a nick, and then Guaita. Great. Fantastic save. Yeah, it was going right. The deflection took it right up into the top corner. I'm sure you all saw it. You couldn't take your eyes off that game. And Guaita, like, paws it out of the top corner. So if not for that, we could have been 1-0 up. I mean, we could have been talking about a different game altogether, but we're not.
Yeah. From the resulting corner, Maguire had a header that hit Rashford. Whether it was going in or not, I'm not entirely sure, because I only caught one angle of that.
No, I think
on the replays.
I think Ayew was stood behind him anyway, so we'll just hit Ayew in the balls, I reckon.
Cavani prodded it over after that, didn't he? I think the best chance, and it wasn't really a chance, a big chance as such, but it's one that Marcus Rashford kind of fashioned for himself with a good touch. Luke Shaw played it into him hard, into his feet, and he took a really good control and then smashed it bottom corner, just whistled past the post. You're looking at me like you don't remember that one, Matt.
I don't remember it.
But that was a decent effort. I mean, he arguably could have done better, because he had a bit more, he had quite a bit of the goal to aim at, and I think he would have beat the keeper if it had been on target. But other than that, Mason Greenwood had a shot deflected wide. Aaron Wan-Bissaka put in a decent cross for Edinson Cavani, but it needed to pass three Palace defenders before it got to Cavani, and it didn't quite do that. And then after that, it was half time, and Gary Neville said before half time that they need a rocket, and he was absolutely right, by my reckoning. And did they get it? It's hard to say, really, isn't it? Because for the first 10 minutes of the second half, again, nothing much changed. I mean, I missed the first few minutes of the second half, but I'm told on good authority, James, that not a lot happened.
Not a lot happened. It's sort of, for me, it's like on Space Jam when they're not doing so well at halftime, and Michael Jordan just tells the Looney Tunes to just have fun with it. Like, just go out there and like, just enjoy it. It's fine. Like, and I hope Solskjaer didn't do that. For loads of reasons, but
I hope he's
saying
in that voice.
just have fun relax, with guys. It, guys. Like, come on now, it's only football. Like, who cares? It's only Twitter. Yeah. They came out. There was pretty much more of the same. I mean, Simon on the chat was asking what happened, and I just sort of replied with nothing happened really, which of course are the best words in the English language to put together. Mm. Nothing happened really. But no, there are a few bitty moments here and there. Matt, do you think anything else happened? I don't think
there
was. No. So at least if I missed something.
And so we return to my notes. 55, no change so far. In many respects, no changes to personnel. Nothing. There wasn't much option off the bench, though. And I think we should go back to the starting lineup, really. No David De Gea in the squad for personal reasons. And it sounds like he might be out for the City game. Solskjaer won't commit to him being back, so quite what that is, we don't know at the time of speaking. Martial picked up a knock on Monday, so he wasn't off on the bench to attempt to make an impact, even though his form's been off anyway, but he would have been a decent option to have. No Donny van de Beek, I think he was a doubt for some reason. No Juan Mata. So we're left with Ahmad, who hasn't played a right lot yet and he's still integrating himself. Shaw Atiri is obviously young. And McTominay and James. And them two were the ones that came on. And to be fair, they did have an impact after 15 minutes of absolutely nothing happening. I believe, though, there was some friction within the ranks. I did see that you mentioned, James, there were the Rashford and Maguire's tiff about him being offside. Can you fill us in?
I wish I could, but that's all I know as well, really. I saw that on Twitter, which, of course, is the gold standard of news these days. If you don't get your news off Twitter, where do you get it from? But there was, a quite full and frank exchange of ideas between those two, which...
contained expletives.
It did, and I won't sully this podcast or the game tonight, which was a cracker, by repeating them.
It's an explicit podcast anyway. If you want to swear away, you swear away.
Shit, piss, balls.
No. And it brings us back, like you say, to the starting lineup in a roundabout kind of way, because you've got Maguire and he's your, of course, he's your leader. He's your enforcer. He's your captain there. And it set the tone for the match. I think the first 5 minutes, he just spooned it. He kicked the thing like it were a beach ball out to, the opposition players. And it's misty out there. Of course it was.
He was back in Greece for a minute, though.
He was. He was, with his inflatables. We know he likes them. Not in a... That sounded really... Ooh. No, there's just that thing of him riding that weird little unicorn thingy. Yeah, so that's where I was going with it.
Okay.
Again, it's like, can we all just relax for a minute and just play football? What the hell is this?
Maybe they're not relaxed.
Can we not knock it? Yeah, it lays over the top. But a bit excited though, wasn't it? I'll calm it down a little. But no, so again, he's... spraying the ball like it's a beach ball, like I said, and it's just he's chipping this pass, trying to get it over someone's head, like a tiny little bit like Rio Ferdinand in that derby, years back. Mm. And he tries to chip pass, come on. And then I was kind of disheartened, because the midfield, I know there's some players that are unavailable. Clearly there are. There's some very notable absentees.
Mm-hmm.
But to once again go into a game with two defensive midfielders. Because you could argue that McTominay, when he plays, he's defensive, but we keep getting that mantra repeated that, he's an attacker, really, when you think about it, and that's fine, and he's got attacking instincts. He can shoot very well. But Matic, maybe not so much. Like I said before, he's got a good shot on him, never uses it. And you see how deep he is. He ends up in the game. We've noticed before, it almost ends up like a weird diamond thing, because he ends up right in between Maguire and be it Lindelof, be it Bailly, but he ends up right there, doesn't he? And he's like trying to dictate things from there. Fred, my love-hate relationship with Fred continues to this day, and there you go. So it was a bit disheartening from the off, but yeah, Maguire, a bit of an exchange with Rashford, which if Rashford has turned round and called him an effing knobhead, it happens.
I like how you missed out the effing bit, but still left in the knobhead bit.
Yeah, because you can have a chocolate obnob. It's not swearing. You know, I never dunk them, but...
They don't call it a hobnobhead.
I might start doing that from now on. Starting with you.
Oi,
oi.
All right. I'm not offside.
No, no. Wait till... Yeah, just hang on. But yeah, it's not good, because if it happens and players, you need a bit of passion, hashtag passion and all that, but the players actually getting at each other, and it's okay, you end up winning that game, and you think, okay, well, leave it on the pitch. Just seemed a bit, just annoyed me, really.
It was more naughty than passion, weren't it? Just frustration clearly on show, and I mean, it's no surprise, really. I mean, Sam Lockhurst at the MEN tweeted at halftime that made it 4 hours without a goal for United. Obviously, going from during the Newcastle game through the Sociedad game, Chelsea, and then that. And obviously, had another 45 minutes, so we'll be closing in on 5 hours during the City game if we don't score early. So, and it feels like that, doesn't it? It feels like a long time since we've enjoyed a goal from this United side, and they just never really looked like getting it, even though I had blind faith that they were going to get one tonight. I mean, a second half with how many chances now? I'll just count them. Two that I saw, and one of them, funnily enough, after Dan James came on and he made a break down the right, which was a decent burst, and he had an impact straight away, and he managed to get the ball across, and materialised that a chance came where he had the opportunity to head the ball in the middle of the goal, exactly where Edinson Cavani would be had he not come on for him. And he made a mess of the header, headed it onto the defender, and it went wide for a corner. But that and a Luke Shaw chance-ish that he
definitely hit the ball.
He kicked the ball at the goal with his weak foot, and it went wide. Which is not a surprise, since it's Luke Shaw shooting, and it was his right foot, and it was us at the moment, to be fair. That's part of the no surprise element. So, yeah, they could have nicked it at the end as well with the Van Arnold chance. I don't know if that would have been offside in the end, but Dean Henderson made a good save, and he had a quiet night. To be fair, Palace offered very little, like... I can't remember too many Palace chances. Benteke kicked one, didn't he? And Townsend had one shot just over, in a similar fashion to what Greenwood actually. Greenwood had a chance in the second half, anyway. Held them off and was leaning back slightly when he shot, so make that three chances in the second half. But other than that, not much to say, not much to offer. Thankfully, Leicester have drawn as well tonight. But City won last night, so we're now, what is it, 14, 15 points behind? 14? It's 14, isn't it?
Yeah, 14 last night. Yeah.
I mean, that race is definitely won now. If it wasn't run before, it's run now. So, just disappointment all around, and we're kind of hoping that teams below us drop points now, because we're right back in the mix of all that. So we need Chelsea and Liverpool, really, to draw tomorrow night.
Yeah, this is what we were saying on the podcast on Sunday, that we were worried about finding ourselves in a fight for top four again, when we had the opportunity, maybe not to catch up to City, because obviously we know that it's going to take a miracle for us to do that, but just to continue just winning games, or just trying to win as many games as possible and finish second if we can.
You want to finish second comfortably
without having to look behind us and think, oh God, these guys are on our tail now. We need to make sure that we don't mess up, otherwise we're going to find ourselves outside the top four again, which we don't want to do. Like, realistically, we have to finish second this season, because if we don't finish second, then we're not moving forward, are we? Mm. Which is the whole thing that Solskjaer is pushing. That's the narrative that he wants everyone to believe in, the fact that we are improving, we are getting better.
Well, yeah, there's a few things to that.
We're not really getting there, though, are we? Unless we finish second or walk away with the trophy this season, we'll have not progressed at all.
I think, well, there's a few things to judge that on, though. You want every season's different, so points totals mean more and less in different seasons. But you ideally, if we can get, you can get more wins, you can get a higher points total, finish higher in the league. I mean, those things don't always marry up. Like, sometimes you can get a points total that would have finished fourth or fifth the season before and finish second. That might be the case this season. I mean, I think if you look at our points per game and just, you know, expand it out for the rest of the season, we're probably going to end up on around 71, 72 points or something like that, which we would still have finished third last season.
Just a point on that, sorry to interrupt, but yeah, the points total, that's a massive thing because, yes, it's the be-all and end-all at the end of the season, like your points total, clearly, but the dearth of points, you could say, I don't know, I'm trying to find a better word, but that'll do. The 40-point mark is usually where teams sort of think they're going to survive, or I think it was about 2002-03 season where that became a bit of an established, get to 40 points, you're probably going to stay up, you'll be all right. Yeah, we reached that like 2 weeks ago or something, and we're in second. And so it shows you, it's a weird season.
10-11 games.
Like. Yeah, something like that, you know, but it's a weird season, we all know that. But yeah, a point about the progression thing, which again is very, very important because you never want to go backwards, and that has happened with United, hasn't it? Since Ferguson, we've looked like, you know, it's a cliche, but two steps forward, one step back, or vice versa. But with Solskjaer, things at the moment, it's annoying because we're just so on the cusp of moving forwards. And I think we kept that dream alive about being in a title race because, well, we were, and the figures suggested, you know, we were.
If we'd have got the points that we should have done and could have done in the last few weeks, we'd still be in the mix. But yeah,
we'd be on the shoulder, definitely. And like I said, try and keep City honest, keep them, you know, working as hard as they possibly can. It looks a bit more difficult now, but with progression, yeah, like I keep saying it, it's you know, I keep banging this particular drum. It's like we finished third last season, try and finish second this season, that's progress. But also, Lukaku came out recently, didn't he? He said quite nice things about United and Solskjaer. He did a ask me anything type thing on Twitter, and that was quite nice to see. There's no particular like bad blood there, but I was just thinking about that because that guy can do no wrong in Serie A. He's scoring goals left, right and centre, and good for him. But
probably going to win the league.
Yeah, exactly. So for United,
he's wearing his Inter shirt tonight. Yeah, he's very happy.
It's a very pastel coloured Inter shirt. It's a very nice impressive shirt, that. Impressive one.
It's a beautiful shirt.
Yeah. But to move on Lukaku, which at the time it was like, okay, I can sort of see why they're doing this, but there's a lot of goals in that guy, albeit maybe it wasn't working for us. I thought
he was underrated for us. Personally.
Yeah, me too. Mm. I mean, I liked him, but when he was being moved on, I thought for the reasons it seemed they were moving him on for, maybe the dressing room would have been better. In short, what I'm saying is we've moved Lukaku on, and we're still sort of second place in the table, if you know what I mean. I know European-wise, we should be in the Champions League still. We fluffed that, didn't we, against Istanbul and stuff like that. But even in that kind of regard, if Solskjaer can make this team, yes, we're still relying on certain players. And would we be better with Lukaku? Well, again, remains to be seen, you know. But to push on and get the best out of you, McTominay's and Rashford, again, in recent weeks, maybe not so much. But yeah, progression, the point I'm trying to make is that we've took a top striker out of this team. And yes, we put Cavani in there, but he's not played that many games. You know, he's been injured, he's been suspended.
He's been good in spells for us, hasn't
he? And we're nowhere near, like, the team we can be without him. But he played tonight, didn't he, for a good portion of the game. And it wasn't working for him. But anyway, just to round up what I'm saying, yeah, progression. There could be that thing about a trophy as well. It's a bit of a shame that the league sort of title race seems to be over, and I'm willing to concede because it's conceded. I take no pride in that.
Well, the Trump of title races.
But do you really think that Man City were watching that even when it kicked off and thought, you know, any of the City fans that we know, do you think they were really nervous about like, United might win here and we're in big trouble?
I'd like to know what they think, but I think they probably all accept that they've won it now, which is, you're hoping for a closer title race, really. Just, I think everybody I don't know if City would fans would necessarily want a close title race, but generally for football fans and fans of the Premier League, I think you're looking for a bit more competition and for it to go a bit closer to the wire, but 10, 11 games out, you know, it's as good as done, which is disappointing. But yeah, your point on Lukaku, yeah. I mean, he made a bold move, taking Lukaku out and trusting Martial and Rashford, essentially. More trusting Martial, since he's the one playing through the middle. And there is, you don't want to, you can't rewrite history, and Martial did well last season.
Yeah, it was his highest goal scoring season, and he was the highest goal scorer for us.
Yeah, but do you think, generally, it's an interesting argument, over the last 2 years, would we be better off or worse off if Lukaku was playing through the middle for us for these two seasons? Would the football have been the same? Would we have been able to play the same style? Would we have got the same amount of goals? You'd argue that Lukaku would just get you goals where most of our strikers wouldn't have got them. So I don't know. I don't know if he necessarily improved us by letting Lukaku go, but it's whether he wanted to be there, whether he's a positive influence in the dressing room and all that sort of stuff. It was nice to see that he said good things about Solskjaer and said he respects him as a coach and thinks he's doing well and said he loves him as a person and all that sort of stuff, because I think the impression was that they'd fallen out in some parts. So yeah, it's an odd one, but we'll never know, and we are where we are currently. Should we have a quick break and look forward to the City game after that?
Sure.
Okay, we'll do that. Hello, it's Simon again. I'm just here to quickly tell you listeners where to find us on social media. We're The Devil's Trident on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at Devil's Trident. You can also keep up to date with us at thedevilstrident.com. Okay, on with the show. Right, welcome back. Before we move on to the City game, I think we just wanted to... You just wanted to say a quick word about Luke Shaw, didn't you?
I did. James? He was good, again.
He was good. And player of the month for you, officially for United as well, for this, for February. So, a good accolade, and shows that he's been moving in the right direction recently.
Definitely, he was a bright spot in the mist and the fog. Yes. He stood out.
It was very misty in our defence tonight. Yeah. It was very misty. It was
in our defence or United's defence?
And just everybody that associated with Manchester United.
he was trying his best. He was really, really... It was against it at times, sure, but he really, you know, he was one of the players that deserved a bit of praise. I would also go out on a limb as the player I'm going to talk about often does.
He's pushing his Eric Bailly agenda.
My Eric Bailly agenda, yeah. Cause
he wants him to be Prime Minister.
Because the thing is, right, the stuff he does on the pitch is often hilarious, but it's effective. Okay, I'll give you a
couple
that
of hilarious moments tonight. Yeah.
But... Okay, dribbled out from the from defence and he lost the ball. Okay, fair enough. I was annoyed at that.
Right, sue him.
It's not as if the guy can do no wrong at all. I mean, because, like I say, especially on a match like tonight, there was all sorts going wrong. But he, some of that, he just flails limbs in front of stuff, doesn't he? And he some sort of weird header.
He did a flying header, didn't he?
Yeah, where he ended up sort of horizontal.
Yeah.
While heading it. Yeah, wonderful.
He was like fully horizontal, weren't wonderful. He? That was
and
great.
And clean sheet, Eric Bailly.
All right. Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Illuminati confirmed.
He also ran into the back of Eze, didn't he? And just got flattened.
He did.
A man of his size should not be getting flattened by Eze.
Yeah, absolutely poleaxed, weren't he, for like a second.
But that's all I wanted to say on that, basically.
So are you essentially saying that Luke Shaw was the Bugs Bunny of the game tonight, James? With your Looney Tunes analogy.
Well, it wasn't Bill Murray. And that's that.
I was going to say, I didn't know where that analogy was going. Okay. Right. Speaking of...
Well, Bugs Bunny's really good. That's the whole point.
Okay. I don't care about Looney Tunes. Come on. Speaking of people associated to the club, did anybody see today... Oh, well, not I say today, but you won't be listening to this on the right day, so we'll say Wednesday, that someone on the social media team for United did a Facebook Live, and it was just the phone in someone's pocket.
No,
I heard about this, but explain. I've not.
Brilliant. I only saw someone tweet about it.
Oh, I got a notification that Man United had gone live.
Yeah, well, that's what it was.
That was it was. Oh,
it was
right.
Someone making the dinner.
Oh, mint.
It was just a black screen, and you could just hear someone dinging the microwave really loudly as well, like chucking something in, and like they dinged it for like 20 seconds, so God knows what they were heating up. But yeah, live, and it's just someone tweeted saying 37,000 people are currently watching someone at Manchester United make the dinner or something.
That's
fucking brilliant.
And it's probably Bailly as well.
So that was the highlight for us today, I think.
I think what we need to figure out is what the person was cooking in the microwave. That seemed like the most important thing about this.
Mm-hmm.
So how long were they cooking it for?
I'll have to link you to the tweet that I saw that we had the video.
Oh, just the full video's there?
Not the full video. I don't know how long it was live for.
All right.
But I assume it's more than the clip I saw.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the clip I saw probably 30 seconds, and the microwave wasn't going the whole time, so just blasting something a few seconds. Maybe they just melted some cheese on something.
But but it sounds like you said they threw it in there.
I just mean there was a lot of slamming. It was a very aggressive microwave work.
Oh, right. Oh, God.
Unless they had the phone on the microwave, in which case it all sounded louder.
That sounds dangerous, though, putting your phone on microwaves.
Yeah, probably. Careless enough to go live on Facebook to millions and millions and millions and millions by The Rock.
The millions!
But what were they cooking? Could you smell it?
I just absolutely teed you up for that then.
You did. That could have been the most electrifying thing in sports entertainment if that phone was near the microwave, though. Come on.
Yeah. Anyway, the highlights aside, City on Sunday. Gary Neville, again to quote him, says he thinks we'll see a different United on Sunday, and God, I hope so, because if we don't, we will get tanked, and we can't go there and embarrass ourselves. I don't think we can put in a performance like that, though. I do think he's right. I think we'll come out with more purpose, but we need some players back from injury, and we are missing Paul Pogba badly. He won't be back for this one, I don't think. Solskjaer didn't sound confident of him having him back imminently. I think the original prognosis was that he was going to be out at least till the end of February, and obviously we're in March now, but I'd be surprised if he's back for this one. But we miss him.
Yeah, we do. We miss him. But I think everybody seems to agree on this point. Everyone just keeps going on about the fact we miss him so much.
Because we do.
When you think about it, of course it's true. Like, you look at what Bruno is doing at the moment, you're like, that man is trying to do everything on his own, and he clearly cannot. Mm. He can only do so much. He is only one man.
Yeah, he needs someone to supplement him. He needs someone to feed him from the back as well.
Yeah, because he can't be going all the way back to our fucking box to get the ball to go forward when there's no one to pass the ball to. It doesn't make no sense.
Mm.
And
it don't make no sense.
Fair enough, if he wants to go deep and he wants to get the ball like Rooney used to do, that's fine, but he can't be going so deep that he ends up in our own net.
There was a period, weren't there, right at the end of the game where he was just picking the ball up on the edge of our penalty area.
But then still passing poorly and still not really doing much with it. Again, that's even worse than... He should have just stayed up the field. Didn't really make any sense, that. So Paul Pogba is the kind of player that can be a bit quiet and just like get along with his business, but then if things aren't really going our way, he's the kind of player who can turn it on and find some spark and pull us through, just like Bruno seems to do, but just not as often. But that's the whole point. Like, when one of the games where Bruno's not doing it, then Paul is like, all right, I'm here. I'll just pop back and talk corner for him. Cheers. I'll have a tea. Go to bed. And that's it.
That's an absolute Mattism, that, weren't it? That's just his standard podcast line.
Yep.
All right.
I've stole that one, so it's all right.
If you stole it off?
Aaron Young.
All right.
love saying that. Love saying, get finished, go home, have your tea.
No one knows who that guy is, but he's a legend.
Just he's full of witticism and
ooh, you're a legend
and really wise he's a wise owl. That's what I classify him as. He's a wise owl.
Oh dear. Right, let's move along with just calling our friends wise owls.
He's also a hoot.
Oh God. I think people have just pressed stop now.
To be fair, if
they've got this far into the podcast, they've done pretty well.
If you listen to a podcast after a 0-0 result, then so, fair fucks
to you. We're even going to do like a post-credit scene, if you stick around long enough.
Yeah. So, Sunday, who are we hoping is fit out of the players that we're missing? If we can't have Paul Pogba, is it time to set Donny free?
I'd like to see Van de Beek, but it's again, I'm like a broken record here because I keep saying I'd like to see Van de Beek feature. It's a bit confusing because he made the bench at the weekend against Chelsea.
Yeah.
But now, no, just disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah, I don't know if it was confusing. A recurrence. He had a muscle strain, didn't he?
Yeah.
Before coming back, and whether he's felt something from training again.
Yes,
I think so I think it was a last minute decision to take him to the Chelsea game. So
okay, well, I can buy that, maybe he wasn't quite ready
because he didn't get on, did he? So.
No, of course not. So I can buy that. Yeah, it's just it's a bit of a shame, really, with a player that we know. Okay, has been patchy in parts, but just hasn't had that run of games. And meanwhile, you've got two central defensive midfielders that we've said before the game even kicked off. It's quite rigid, that really, and it's quite. It's quite flat.
Yeah, the Fred and Matic, the Fred and Matic version over the Fred and McTominay version is particular static.
It's square, isn't it? It's like a square peg in a round hole at times. But Van de Beek can do. He's blessed in that kind of way that, yeah, of course, you might not have seen the best of him yet, but he can, given the space and the time and, of course, the minutes. He can do sort of both, I think. He can sort of do that kind of deeper lying thing, but then... he's been heralded as a kind of understudy to Bruno Fernandes. So, you know, he can do that kind of stuff going forward. And to put it in perspective, like Fred and Matic, of course, the midfield we had today, out of necessity, because you couldn't pick Van de Beek today, so I'm not complaining, but those haven't got goals in them at all. Whereas Van de Beek, I know it's a little bit random, but it is a fact, okay? Like Rafa is a fact. We're talking about facts. Donny van de Beek scored within 20 minutes of his first appearance in Man United, you know?
And against Palace. God,
Illuminati confirmed. We said it at the start, yeah? File that under things we like to see, Matthew, please.
All right, let me get the phone. I
think you'll find it in the top drawer. No, but in terms of... so, midfield alternatives, I don't know. We might genuinely be looking at... Well, we were looking at McFred, weren't we, at the weekend? I think there's any doubt there.
Yeah.
At the back, though, you know where my head is with Eric Bailly. I'd like to see him. I always like to see him. He should be a guest. He'd trip over
that's
something.
Particularly excited. I always like to see a bit of Bailly.
Yeah. The sweetest Eric since the King or Bailly, or whatever it is. That song, I don't know. You to me are everything. But no, going forward, again, maybe Cavani up top. But it's a bit of a shame, really. We've got all these players out. And Man City, knowing them, they'll get Jamojo back, won't they? Do you remember Jamojo? That even Guardiola went.
I can say they never lost him.
You've got Jamojo back.
Who? Who?
Yeah. Well, they might as well. Peter Jamojo.
That is good. Yeah, Matt. Who are you hoping to have back? Or are you just does it not matter? Or does it matter?
Oh, I'd love to see one matter. That
it's not going
to
happen.
It's not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. It wouldn't surprise me if Dan James gets back in the team.
Yeah, I think, like we said a few weeks ago, maybe it had been last week. It's all a blur. They're all 0-0 draws that we're podcasting about. Yeah, who knows what it is? Yeah. Last time out, last season, away at theirs, it was Martial, Rashford and James, and we did a number on them. Whether they've wised up to that and... won't be as susceptible, who knows, but yeah, I do think it will be Dan James on.
Yeah, maybe Greenwood instead of Martial, but I don't know, they might go with Martial because of the experience.
Yeah, possibly. It's all much of a muchness at the moment, isn't it, because none of them are firing. I mean, arguably Dan James is the most informed forward we've got at the moment, because Rashford was off it tonight. And
what year were you in right now?
I don't fucking know. I don't know, because so many years have passed since we scored a goal. And it's like being in Van Gaal era, isn't it?
It's like that. It's like that meme with the old lady from the Titanic. It's been 83 years
since we scored a goal.
Since we scored a goal.
Yeah. So, yeah, Dan James is genuinely probably is our most informed forward. Martial's not scoring. Greenwood's played all. He's been playing all right recently, hasn't he? But he's no goals to his name. Martial, as we know, has been off and he's got a knock on whether he's fit or not. Cavani's coming back from injury.
Oh, maybe Cavani, though, instead of... If Cavani's fit, then why not? Maybe Cavani instead of Martial.
I think he's got to set up counter-attacking-wise, hasn't he? Because are we going to have sustained periods of possession against City? You'd think we're just probably going to be camped in our own half waiting to attack again. Although, when that happened against Liverpool and Cavani came on to hold the ball up, you know, that worked for then that brief spell, that 10 minutes at the end where we could have and should have gone and won it. Because everybody was feeding off him and the nippy players were benefiting from that. So maybe it's Cavani through the middle, playing more of a hold-up role, and Dan James and Rashford either side of him possibly could work. Either way, we've got to be better.
yeah, we do. And to be fair, I probably wouldn't change much of what James said, really. You need to have Fred and Scott in the middle, and then the back four needs to be Bailly over Lindelof, but I'm pretty sure he's going to go with Lindelof.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it tends to be Lindelof when we're going to be up against it, so to speak, doesn't it? Maybe not bothered about runs in behind, because there's not going to be any runs in behind because we're going to be camped in. And I think he believes there's more organisation with Lindelof and Maguire, because Bailly's just madcap, innit? Which might not be the ideal solution for a game where you.
Although it depends on how City come out, though, because
have they got any decent players?
Well, Aguero's back now, isn't he? They got Aguero back and De Bruyne's back in the team, and like apparently Mahrez had an incredible game yesterday.
I don't know. I watched the last 10 minutes where it was 1-1, and we were like, "Ooh, we're on here," and then we totally weren't on here.
No, we totally weren't. I'd personally go with Bailly, but I know that's not going to happen. I just think that Lindelof's going to get the nod. Hopefully, De Gea will be back, but it wouldn't surprise me if Endo keeps his place.
I don't think that's a problem, though, is it, really?
No, but, I mean, this would be, like, a very big... Well, he's played against him before, hasn't he? But I think it's going to be a very big test, though. Because he's going to have a lot to do.
Yeah, I mean...
It's not going to be tonight where he has to do one thing.
Yeah, these are the games where De Gea thrived over the last few years when we were playing. I've been playing lots of counter attacking football, and we have been peppered and peppered and peppered. And De Gea's had to make save after save and actually done it. Yeah, Henderson hasn't really dealt with that in one of our games yet, because of the nature of the games he plays in. He plays in a lot of Europa League games where we're expected to be dominant and are. And just cup games were the same scenario, and games like tonight. So, yeah, if he does play, it'll be interesting to see, though.
Yeah, and I hope he does well. I really do.
I think we'll see what happens with De Gea. Obviously, we don't know, like we said. So, any other... any worries on Sunday, James? I think that's a silly question, because I think there's a little bit of a worry, isn't there? Because it's say.
There's loads of worries. The main worry being that, like, in the league, we've got the last sort of victory, haven't we, against them, if I'm not wrong. It was the pre-corona one, because then there was the 0-0 draw.
Yeah,
and we did
the double over mint in the league last year.
We did, bears repeating.
So, yeah, we don't often lose to him.
No, but that's interesting what you said, because the the goalkeeping situation, it may well, I would not be surprised if it was Henderson, because all the best to David De Gea, by the way. We don't know what that is. That could be anything. So it could be a family grievance. It could be so you know.
I thought you were going to list thoughts. Every possibility.
it could be, you know.
This is a list of personal reasons.
Yeah, it could be, you know, his house could be being repossessed. We just don't know. It could be tonsillitis. We don't know. It's a private matter. Maybe Jimojo went and visited him and gave him corona. We don't know at this point. So all the best to De Gea, though.
And Jimojo.
Jimojo, yeah, if he was involved in that. Someone get Pep on the phone. Tell him Jimojo's not going to be back. He'll be very confused, especially if we ring him. But
how do you get this number?
Yeah, who's Jimojo? Who are you, in fact? My name is Jimojo. But no, there's some concern. What I was saying about the goalkeeping situation, I remember the one at the Etihad last time round, and I think we kept them at bay mostly, but our defenders did most of the work, I think. And Wan-Bissaka had a particularly good game against Sterling. So I don't think that De Gea had to make so many saves, and I just hope that if we're switched on, and I think that Lindelof will play, as long as he doesn't fold like an envelope, then we've got a chance. And of course, it's all about keeping it tight, very much like we saw tonight against Palace. And I hate to say it, but just like Man City will really give us stuff to think about, like to worry about. Okay, Crystal Palace, maybe they didn't do so much of that tonight, but they still could have come away with a win in another sort of on another day. But City, we know, are going to pose a threat. But like you've said, it's that counter-attacking threat, isn't it, that we've got. If we can just, you know, do what we usually do. And it could easily be 0-0, though. I can't get that out of my mind. Like, history tells you that the top, so-called top six, and City would take that. Of course they would. They want to stick the knife in a little, but
any result matters now, does it?
Of course, yeah, obviously. So they don't
it's all
care.
It's by the by now. It's,
well, why don't they just give us the win? Come
they
on.
Should do
just
that.
Give us the win.
Should we ring? We'll ring him.
We'll ring Guardiola. We've got his number.
Put in a word. Yeah. Bald man to bald man. I'll be like, come on, bro.
Sort us out.
Yeah.
Go on then. Give us a prediction then, Matt. Your honest prediction.
We are going to lose 2-0. Sorry.
Who's you think he is?
This is a very upbeat podcast today.
I you know what? If they play anything like they play tonight, we are going to get dicked for six.
I can't see it being that bad.
No, it's not going to be that bad. But dicked for two. I can. Nothing tells me we are going to win this game, but I really, really hope that I'm wrong. Like, I hope, like, so, like, nothing. I'm going to hope with all my possible will in my body that we don't, but yeah, I don't think we are.
James, go on.
I'm going to be more positive than Matt. I'm going to go with a 0-0. Because history tells us that. And I just think Ollie's going to go absolutely fantopsix about this one. Just completely lay out how he usually does.
How long have you been planning that?
For a second. Believe me, I've only had it for a second.
No.
Honestly. Yeah. Not on it, but he'll do. Joking aside, I think. No, joking aside. Yeah, it's nil-nil. It's got nil-nil. But that's me being positive, though. I think City could beat us, like Matt said, because they're pretty good. I think we're all aware of that. And they've got the momentum, haven't they? And plus, I mean, we're going to have to do something really special to end that. I think it's, what is it, 15 games in a row in the league?
I've lost count too.
So,
is it unbeaten in 21 games?
Yeah.
Hey, we're on about City, yeah.
Oh, no, but...
It's
consecutive wins, isn't it? So
they're on consecutive wins. We're on consecutive away unbeaten. So there's a run could end, and probably will end.
A streak will be broken. It's not WrestleMania fucking 37, is it?
Yeah, I think a streak. Yeah, a streak's probably going to break either way, whether it's us getting a draw or us losing and losing our away record. Something's probably going to happen. I never predict losses, so I'm not going to do it. I'm going to predict a 1-1 draw.
Well, being the horse, you really should have more confidence.
Why is it my job to have more confidence?
Playing at his house.
Well, because it's your podcast. You need to be the one that's always positivity. You can't become Robbie from the Arsenal Fan TV.
Anthony Imparcial over here.
I'm sorry.
You must just say we must win every game. That's, you can't say anything else. So
do I have to just cut it down the middle and that's
you
it?
Have to say we're going to win every single
game. I'm not allowed
game.
An opinion.
Because imagine the uproar that people are blaming us in this podcast and the horse can't even think we're going
to
win.
I like to think I'm level-headed.
I think I'm the positive one. Connie's the realistic one, and you're the impartial one.
Impartial, like I'm not a United fan.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, here we go. I'm predicting 1-1. I'm hoping for like 8-0 to us, but I'm thinking draw.
Boo.
I'm not even thinking draw. I'm hoping draw.
Boo.
If I'm really honest with myself, I'm thinking we could lose 3-1, 3-2.
You heard it here first, guys. Right.
I'm sorry. I just think we're going to lose probably, but I'm going to say 1-0. Okay. Right. Anyway, we'll leave it there. We'll come back to you on Sunday with hopefully a podcast that isn't about a 0-0. But hopefully it also isn't about a 7-0.
You know what? If it was a 0-0, though, at least we haven't lost.
Yes.
So that would be nice.
There'll be that. So, yeah. Yeah, we'll leave it there. I've been Simon. He has been the optimistic one.
Yeah.
And he has been the realistic one.
I've been Keno. Oh, the tiger. The thrill of the fight. I'll see you on the Sunday.
Game on the Sunday.
Game on the Wednesday or game on the Sunday.
And I've been Anthony Impartial. We have been the Devil's Trident podcast. And we'll see you later.
See ya.
Bella.